standing for the council prayer and acknowledgement of country, please. Almighty God, we who are gathered together in council pledge ourselves to work in harmony for the welfare and development of our rural city. Guide us, we pray, in our deliberations. Help us to be fair in our judgment and wise in our actions, so that prosperity and happiness shall be the lot of our people. Amen. I'd like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land in which we are meeting, the Latchi Latchi people, and pay my respects to elders both past and present. Thank you. You may be seated. I'd like to welcome everybody here this evening to our council meeting. We don't have any apologies. We'll move to confirmation of minutes at item 5 for the special council meeting held on the 21st of February 2017, the ordinary council meeting held on the 23rd of February 2017, and the confidential council meeting held on the 23rd of February 2017. Thank you, Councillor Poole, for moving that. Can I have a seconder, please? Thank you, Councillor Modica. I'll put that motion. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried. We shall move to the confirmation of assembly of councillors, and there's a recommendation there for the meeting held on the 8th of February 2017 and the meeting on the 9th of March 2017. If I could have a mover for those records. Thank you, Councillor Clements, and a seconder, Councillor Poole. Any councillor wish to speak against that motion? I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried. Item 7 is notification of absence. Do we have any notifications of absence?
No, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Item 8 is the mayoral report, and we've got a record, that's for February 2017. There's a recommendation there at point 2. Is that moved by Councillor Cupper or?
Oh, sorry, no, I was looking at
the okay. Can I have a mover for that? You've got to be careful if you stick your hand up. Thank you, Councillor Poole. A seconder, Councillor Clements. Anyone wish to speak that motion? Okay, thank you. I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried. Item 9 is Councillor Reports, and this is for February 2017 with the recommendation of point 2 there. Can I have a mover for that, please, Councillor Brown? Okay, Councillor Modica. Thank you. I'll go to Councillor Brown for his additional report.
Yeah, there's a portfolio meeting with Manager Belt and Mandy Whirling. It's included in the field.
Push the button.
Got out of land, that was. A portfolio meeting with Manager Belt and Mandy Whirling. And also with Vic Rose, Dennis Jewell on the 23rd of February. Thank you.
Thank you. We can note that. Councillor Modica? Yes.
Thank you very much. I was lucky enough to go to a Community Energy Congress in Melbourne on the 27th and 28th of February. It was the second Australian Community Energy Congress. And the Congress was instigated by Australians frustrated with the slow uptake of available renewable energy options and technologies. The overwhelming theme of the two-day Congress was the opportunity for Australians to play a role in regulating their own energy needs, which a lot of people believed had ceased to be active since deregulation. I have been clear on my personal views around renewable energies since being on council. What has become clearer to me is the divide within the Australian community over the ideology. It's shown at our T2 vote the other day. I acknowledge the divide, but choose to put it aside and think about the positives we can do in our community to transition to renewables. Also to actually give ourselves a little bit of a place in our cleaner energy future away from the heavy lobby groups in Melbourne, Sydney and Canberra. To transition to 100% renewables, we need a feasible goal and plan. We need education and incentives with world's best practice to direct our ambitions to build smart cities, smart grids and smart grids. Individuals and communities and corporations can aspire to be net producers of energy and not energy reliant. I'll tap into coal. Coal is an old technology. 70% of the remaining coal-powered plants in Australia are beyond their use-by dates. If they were driving cars of the same age, they'd be HQs and XVs, and the phones would still be hanging on the walls. So not only is it... So not only is it's a technological transition, but it's also a cost transition. Bringing it back to T2 quickly, to emphasise how deeply our energy future is being considered, Jeff Summerhayes from APRA warns that banks and directors could be liable if they fail to consider increasing risk of carbon-intensive assets and of power stations becoming stranded. There's already a great indication of the work done in Australia. 1.6 million homes have renewable energy on their roofs, solar panels. And there's 50 identifiable renewable energy projects going on in Australia at the moment. Newstead, Hepburn Springs, Denmark in WA and many more. Lismore was one of the groundbreaking councils. They claim to be 100% renewable. They state that this model of sustainability is aligned with aspirations of many more local councils right across the country who are pursuing groundbreaking strategies in renewable energy, climate neutrality and sustainability in collaborations between themselves and their communities. There's something like, quickly, 120... Not only is it a community energy transition, there's large-scale stuff to do as well, and there's happening in Cunderdin, WA, Whitsunday in Queensland, and in parks in New South Wales, and they're putting on something like 150 megawatts in the next little while with 470 jobs. There's also Denman Prospect in Canberra, which is going to do it's the first solar suburb, 4,200 homes, so there's all these things happening around us. Mildura Rural City Council has been very active in the pursuit of renewable infrastructure. In the last few years, approximately 500 kilowatts of panels have been installed on council buildings. These installations have already begun to make a return for investment for the community and for MRCC. There's also great interest, 6 permits in the last 12 months with other investment prospects in Oyen, Balranald, Broken Hill, Kerrang and Renmark, which is pointing at our region to be an absolute leader in solar and solar transition with renewable energies. All investment is great for our region, but we must engage in some long-term planning, and I propose we endeavour to create a Murray-Darling Solar Institute, which would seek to attract cutting-edge technologies and thinkers to embrace and guide our way through this ongoing transition and revolution. Also, on the other hand, the Andrews government has given another $200 million last week in regard to renewables, which would be fantastic for this region. And I'll just sum up, the journalist and fellow for the Centre for Policy Development, Ian Dunlop, who's been writing about energy since the 70s, said, "Finally, there is nothing agnostic about choosing energy sources. When the fossil fuel industry continues to enjoy a massive subsidy, far greater than renewables, through the lack of carbon pricing. A subsidy the IMF estimates to be about 60% of the coal market's price. And this is the nub of the problem. Our climate and energy policies are disconnected and dysfunctional shambles brought about by years of denial and inaction from federal governments of both persuasions who do not accept that climate change is happening. Our antiquated electricity grids are undoubtedly in need of an overhaul, but 100% renewable energy grids are being constructed around the world in only a few years, providing genuine energy security and making traditional concepts of baseload power irrelevant. This is innovation at its best."
Thanks, Drew.
Thanks very much, Councillor Monica. There was no other reports. Oh, thank you, Councillor Cupp.
Just quickly, just to foreshadow the petition that's going to be tabled tonight, I have met with members of that project, primarily James Price and Julie Calaby and their team, and just from a councillor perspective, want to commend what has been, I think, an amazing grassroots advocacy initiative to support a cause which is ultimately about parity between our region and the rest of the state. So I look forward to seeing that petition being tabled tonight, and look forward also to considering as a council group what we can do in a timely way to support that effort.
Thank you, Councillor Cupper. I'll now put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried. Move on to responses to councillor questions. I'm just waiting for the screen to catch up. We've got one there for Councillor Cirillo. At the moment he's not here, so we'll move on. I think that was the only question. Move on to questions from councillors. Councillor Eccle.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, I've got five questions, and the first couple are to the manager of corporate development. Could management develop a procedure for councillors' suggestions re tourism and economic development that may be presented to the new entity for consideration? So, a process, or a procedure.
Mr. Sexton?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, yes, we certainly will. In fact, we are working with the new board and we are looking to develop that as we speak.
Thank you. That's a segue to the second question. CitiSlow is an international network of slow cities that began in 1999 and now includes over 100 cities in 10 countries, including 3 in Australia. I will table the attached information if it could be considered as an item of interest to that process. Thank you.
Through you again, Mr. Mayor. Happy to do that.
Thank you. The EOI for the new entity CEO closes tomorrow, with MOUs and for MT, well, that's Mildura Tourism and Economic Development, now superseded. Can the CEO please provide councils with a delineation between council's internal relevant operations and those of the new entity in the near future?
I'll leave that to Mr. Sexton again.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, and on behalf of the CEO. Again, the new board is actually working on a whole range of formal protocols that will be presented to council to reflect, I guess, those linkages between the activities, future activities of both the board and, I guess, its relationship with council.
Just to reflect on that, the other issue was too that there's two different departments within council. One that's handled economic development and the other one that handles the new entity issue, if that could be addressed too, possibly.
Indeed, so.
Yeah. Okay. This afternoon, five councillors went down to the AGM for the Northern Mallee Glen, and there was a speaker down there, Bill Pottinger, and it was an outstanding address, and I would just like to put it to the councillors in some sort of forum, Mr. Mayor, that it could be considered that prior our first sitting of the strategic plan for our council plan, that we might have this gentleman come up and speak to the council. And at the same time, I think it would be a great initiative if possibly we could get the new entity at the same forum.
And that to the CEO.
Mr. Mayor, we can attempt to obviously get that speaker back. I don't think before our first sitting, because that's actually next week, but we can obviously get it involved as part of that process.
Months go by pretty quickly, don't they? Now, the other question is relevant to a question that I asked about 3 or 4 years ago, and it's about gazetting Mildura Day as a significant local government event in Australia. And one of the criteria at that particular time that came back from that question was that the event needs to be held for 5 years. Well, that is the case. It will be the case. So can we just could I have that revisited? Thank you.
Through you, Mr.
Did I do that?
I wouldn't comment on that, Mr. Mayor. Through you, Mr. Mayor, yes, we can certainly revisit that. I believe one of the other limitations could well be, but we'll pursue it, is whether or not in a state context it's considered a significant enough event. So I'm just flagging that whilst we'll look at it, I'm not confident we'll win that request.
I would be, so I'll take that on. Mr. Sexton, thank you.
Thank you. I now know what that little pink button does. Turns everybody else off. Okay, we'll move on to...
any other questions?
You've got to be quick, Councillor Thorburn. Okay, I didn't see your hands. that time?
I was
usually your first up.
Yeah, well, I was waiting. He had five. I was trying to count them. Mr. Mayor, through you, can I ask, where are we at with a report on the community need for a designated off-leash dog park?
Who wanted to answer that one?
I think Andrew.
Mr. Millen, okay.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. The Recreation Department, through their own endeavours with respect to the recreation strategy, have taken on, I suppose, the mantle and the preparation, those works and policies that need to be developed with respect to a facility or a location. So as the Recreation Department completes that plan, the off-leash dog area will be part of that plan.
Thank you, Mr. Millen. Councillor Thorburn.
Further to that, Mr. Mayor, can we do exactly what our neighbours are doing and have been in the Swan Hill Rural City Council and having inviting the public to suggest likely areas? Might shortcut things.
And that one back to Mr. Jose, Mr. Millen, somebody.
I'll commence, Mr. Mayor. I think that that suggestion could be incorporated when Council has the chance to discuss the draft open space strategy at a forum.
Next question, Mr. Mayor, is there any progress on the previous request to ask Mr. Crisp to find some details about how we can expand the Mikey system into the Mildura public bus system, given that it's now originally, I believe, extended to Bendigo and Ballarat, aside from Geelong, leaving only Warrnambool, Shepparton and Mildura in the same public systems with the same charging system as the people of Melbourne?
Mr. Jose?
Mr. Mayor, I'll have to go and search through the slow city to find out whether we've actually put such a request in. I can't recall such a request being made. But we can still obviously follow up with Mr. Crisp on that basis.
I certainly did request it, Mr. Mayor, but it's good that we'll follow it up. Can we also have a report on the possible expansion of the community hire rate with some council services, similar to concessions granted to community users at the Mildura Arts Centre, to other not-for-profit or sporting organisations, such as the hire of the water truck based at Ayan to the Trotting Club?
Mr. Jose?
Mr. Mayor, Council will be able to review fees and charges as part of the annual budget preparation process, which is obviously happening now.
One more, Mr. Mayor. Can we have a report on the delivery of Telstra services to new subdivisions, not just in the outlying areas, but also in the city of Mildura?
Mr. Jose, you want to answer? Oh, Mr. Mellon might be.
I'm on office.
We can certainly look at any issues that are being portrayed by developers. Further that, Mr. Mayor, through yourself, that the planning department's fairly aware of some areas that are going to get NBN and some that are not. And the issue between NBN and Telstra is significant. We're aware of some of the issues within our community. But we can certainly provide a report back to Council.
Thank you. Councillor Cumber.
Yes, thank you. This question relates to the Vic Track land and what was the train station adjacent to 7th Street and that riverfront redevelopment. I was just wondering if we could possibly get a summary of the changes that have been proposed. I guess we're looking at the last few years, but a cumulative summary of the changes that have been proposed by the state government and or endorsed by council, so that the community can keep an eye on the potential impact of these sorts of developments and changes on future passenger rail restoration. And further to that, or as part of that summary, if we could also get clarification on what decisions might be made under delegation, which we wouldn't be able to see necessarily.
Mr. Mayor, I'll start. the stage two of that development, which has been referred to, is state government is setting up a project steering group to look at that VicTrac land involving VicTrac, and we would probably be invited to provide a representative to it, and that would be the mechanism that we can inform council. We wouldn't be making decisions as council under delegation over their land.
Okay, great, thank you.
Is there another question, Councillor Tupper?
No, that's all.
Yeah, that's fine.
Councillor Clements. Through you, Mr. Mayor, to Mr. Millen. I think that this is probably an extension of the question asked by my colleague, Mr. Thorburn, and I can't attest to the accuracy of this statement, but I was approached by a developer who was complaining about the length of time that it took to subdivide land here in Mildura. And one of his specific complaints was in relation to Telstra apparently taking some 3 months to actually deliver services into a subdivision. My understanding is, rightly or wrongly, and this is what I've been told, that they initially examine the subdivision site, provide a letter to the developer saying that they are able to and willing to provide the necessary services for that development, but then it takes something like 3 months for them to actually then deliver the services. The frustration for the developers appears to be not being able to do anything, not being able to get an approval from council to subdivide and sell that land until those services are actually provided. And I think that the argument or the request or the thinking is that they should be able to sell, get approval for the subdivision and sell the land subject to the letter that from Telstra that tells them that that the Telstra facilities will be provided for that site.
There's a two-step process that a developer is required to go through with respect to telecommunications. It's a mandatory condition on any subdivision permit. With respect to Telstra, the first process is an agreement with Telstra where a bond is paid to Telstra for services. Then Telstra itself or its consultant will put the services in the ground. It can take up to 3 months for those services to be provided and then inspected as being satisfactory to Telstra. I also must say that developers in more recent times have had to adapt to the change in the requirements, and some developers have not adapted quickly. So some of the work that could have been done earlier in the process has not been done satisfactorily, so that the delays are not there at the end of the process.
Further to that, the matter's been taken up with the Minister, and there's been some discussions as recently as today, and we're waiting back for some word from the Minister, the point being that the law makes life difficult, and it's very specific, so we're looking for a way through that, and maybe a change to that law. So it's in the Minister's hands as we speak, and hopefully we may get some sort of answer in the next day or two. Any further questions? Okay, we'll move on to notices of motion. And there's none. Petitions, item 13.1, for passenger rail advocacy with the recommendation at item 2. Do I have a move for that recommendation? Thank you, Councillor Cupper. A seconder. Thank you, Councillor Eckel. Is there any council wish to speak that against that motion? Thank you. I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried. Move to item 14.1. That's the audit. I've just been reminded that we have, so before we go on, members of the Afghan community, young members of the Afghan community, are visiting with us this evening, so they're waving up the back there. Welcome to the council meeting. Sorry, that was remiss of me. I had it written down to welcome you, but it's great to have you in the meeting this evening. So you are very welcome. We'll go back to item 14.1.
And Mr. Mayor, they have to go to soccer practice in about 5 minutes.
Oh, do they? They're going to soccer practice in 5 minutes. So if they leave, you know why. That's great. And we've got a recommendation at point two, and these are for the minutes of the 9th February meeting. Can I have a mover for that? Thank you, Councillor Modica, as seconder. Councillor Clements, I'll put the motion. Those in favour, those against, the motion is carried. Item 14.2 is Commodity Expo and Investment Fair. Move Councillor Thorburn. That's the recommendation of point two. Do I have a seconder for that recommendation? Thank you, Councillor Poole. Any councillor wish to speak against that motion? Councillor Cupper? Hey? Councillor Thorburn, if you would like to begin the debate.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I was going to ask to speak to it. I didn't, so this is an opportunity. This motion, I think, is, as you probably saw, that the cost of it is not very high at all. I think I've mentioned before in council that if you want to go to China, probably now's the time to go, because the fares that are on for China are probably half the cost that when I went to China over a couple of years before. I have been to Darling, Mr. Mayor, but as a tourist, because this is a very important arrangement that we have with Darling. It's really not a sister city arrangement at all. It is really an arrangement that is actually at government level. It's with the province at that level, so it would be similar to the level of state government. And I think previously councillor or ex-councillor Arnold has been there a number of times, both council funded and also a couple of times he funded his own trips there. In this instance, we see that the people at Dali are going to look after three people, two councillors and a representative of the newly formed Tourism and Economic Development Board. As yet, I don't know who is going from here, but I tell you what, they've got a very good itinerary, and they're going to be looked after. The expenses are going to be met, I think, at about four of the days, and it's going to be a very high-profile trip. As you would see there, from the governor of Dali Prefecture in the Yunnan province. And it is, as it says there, a high-level invitation to the Mildura Rural City Council. I think whoever's been there in the past has been treated at very strong level. There's also, we've got some association, I believe some of the schools have been to Dali, which is on a lower level, but of course it's supported by the upper level as well. The cost of $6,500 for three people, I think it's very reasonable given the benefits. The other thing that they'll attend is the Southeast Asia Commodity Expo and Investment Fair. Now, I can only just visualise what this is going to be. This would be a huge event given on the things that I've seen in China on private visits, Mr. Mayor. And whatever, I'm quite sure the two councillors that go will find that they're going to learn something. They're going to be absolutely amazed at China, that the same impression that I've got in recent trips there. And also the representative of the newly formed Mildura Tourism and Economic Development Board that goes will also get the benefits, and it will be really mind-blowing. When I first came to council, we budgeted for a trip overseas to our sister cities at $20,000 for a couple of people. Here we've got three people going, and I think I heard the mayor say the other day, I'm not putting words in his mouth, but I did hear him say that there's a lot of trade actually in this district at the moment with people from China that have benefited from an association. It's really about an association and getting that association with Chinese businessmen. That's how it happens, and it is beginning to happen, Mr. Mayor, in this community, and that's why this is so important that we send these two councillors. It'll probably be, I would say, the best $6,500 we've invested in my time here at council in 9 years, but I say that sincerely, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Thorburn. Councillor Poole.
Yes, I agree wholeheartedly with Councillor Thorburn. Very minimal cost for the return for the whole community, as well as the educational side of it. So I've partially been involved with the students from Irimpool Secondary, Merbein, Redcliffs and Chafee that have been on the exchange, and that's normally about 16-year-olds, about year 10. Fantastic that they bring back a report and what they've learnt from that to benefit Mildura and Sunraysia altogether. Also, I listened to George, who tends to go over with the students and come back, and I think also on these sort of things. So in the last 10 years, through that involvement, the economic benefit has been amazing, including minimal to outstanding local businesses, apparently, and also through Sunny Tape, the attendance and education locally from China is now increased to 100 residents here. So there's many, many benefits, and hard to put an economical figure on that. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Poole. Councillor Kappa.
Thank you. I generally speaking, just in relation to what Councillor Poole was saying, and to an extent what Councillor Thorburn was saying, I can appreciate the benefits of overseas connections like this. I have a degree in international relations. I appreciate all of that stuff, and I have spoken to people at Sunny Tape about the educational benefits. My dad is a principal at a local school that participates, and the kids love it. The concerns I have, well, and I just want to note too that I think that the business opportunities, if they are there, I think there's probably business opportunities anyway, regardless of whether we're going to China. However, I do accept that there's probably opportunity for relationships with businessmen and businesswomen, Councillor Thorburn. I think that though context is very relevant, two issues that stand out for me in relation to Sister City trips are these. The first one is about transparency in terms of who's selected to go. So I've been a councillor, this is my 50 year as a councillor. It's always been very murky to me as to who gets selected, why they're selected for those opportunities.
Be very careful about your words, Councillor Cupper, please.
It's an honest reflection
I would just caution you on your words.
Can I rephrase that then and suggest that perhaps there could be room for improvement in terms of our procedures and processes on selection?
That's fine.
The other issue is very much about cost in the specific context that we're talking. I know Councillor Thorburn is saying that $6,000 is not a lot of money in the scheme of things. We live in a low socioeconomic community where people are struggling, in an environment where economic pressure is significant, so significant that we are going to be asked in not too long a time to consider significant changes to library services on the basis of trying to save money. Now, my concern is that in that sort of an environment, when we're sending councillors, elected councillors, overseas on ratepayers' money, that that's just not a good look, that there are ways around that, that perhaps as a goodwill gesture to the community to show that we're shouldering some of the financial burden in a tight economic environment, that we would use our own councillor allowances to be able to fund that small amount of money rather than expecting ratepayers to fund it for us. I would feel much more comfortable about all of our Sister City stuff if that was somewhere in the equation. So just in summary, I'm not wanting to denigrate Sister City relationships generally, but I am wanting to make those qualifications, which I think would actually make would improve community faith in the Sister City process, and certainly, I think, make me feel better as a councillor supporting these sorts of initiatives. Thanks.
Thank you, Councillor Cupper. Any other councillor wish to speak for the motion? Thank you, Councillor Eckhold.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, first of all, pick up on something that the procedure is that this comes back to council with the with the two councillors that have been nominated. Isn't that correct, to be passed by council?
I think so.
Hasn't
yes.
passed?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, that's one thing. So it does come back here, so that's there's some clarity there. The other issue is too, and what's forgotten in this, and Councillor Cupper with her degree or whatever the case may be in this area would know for sure why sister cities are come about. The sister cities came about through President Eisenhower after the Second World War in bringing countries together. So when we're talking about community, we're not just talking about singularly communities, we're talking about the communities of the world, countries of the world that need to be in contact with each other. And the procedures in regards to a sister cities concerned is, okay, it's not, and I'm first to put up my hand about this, it's not all about economical, it's about the relationships. And the relationships between countries, the relationships between languages, the relationships between children, which is the most important component of this that's been forgotten. The relationships of the children of this particular municipality go back, I believe, three generations coming up. And that's a wonderful eye-opener. It's a wonderful foundation for a child's future. The other issue that wasn't mentioned too, because I'm one of those councillors that have gone overseas and paid my own way. So the other situation that puts a little bit of pressure on councillors that, like Councillor Thorburn pointed out about Councillor Arnold, that choose to pay their own way, doesn't reflect too well on those councillors that want to put up their hand and pay for their trip. And by the way, when they pay for their trip, they reduce, the cost is reduced quite significantly, but anyway, the councillor going overseas pays for that trip. And I've gone twice, once to America, paid for my own trip, to Japan, paid for my own trip. So the issue is that that option is there for any councillors should this proceed.
Thank you, Councillor Eckel. Councillor Clements, speaking against the motion.
Yes, thank you. A few minor issues. Firstly, in relation to the issue of the children, my understanding is that the children go over there every year anyway, regardless of whether councillors go or don't go.
Point of order, I think, Mr. Mayor. I think it was initiated by the sister cities' relationship initially in some instances.
It was initiated through the relationship between the council and Kunming-Yeah with involving Sunny TAFE.
If the date, if this debate includes all sister cities,
I don't follow the question.
Well, the relationship between Upland and Mildura is a sister city relationship, and that was initiated by the sister cities and the school's attendance to, you know, to America and vice versa was initiated by a sister city.
Yes, likewise. Yeah. Thanks. Councillor Clements?
Well, regardless of that, regardless of whether the councillors go or don't go, the children still go. And my understanding is that's paid for by the relevant school or by the children themselves, I'm not sure. But it makes no difference to whether councillors do or don't go. My issue is this. We're in a position of where quite a number of ratepayers are suffering rate stress. My own personal rates are $3,000. I actually had to go downstairs, tap in here, to ask for an extension on my rates payment. And here we are, we're willing to expend $6,500 or so, sending people over to China. I mean, I've got no problem with doing that if there's a reason and there's a value, and the people of Mildura believe that there's value in that. So my problem is, what are we actually getting out of this? I understand that councils as individuals will be intellectually improved. They'll develop their thinking and understanding about international relations. But how does that then transpire into helping the community? What does that do for the community? In times when there's lots of money around and everyone's got lots of cash, I can see that that would be a viable argument, but I don't think we're there at the moment. In fact, I think we're a long way from there at the moment, financially. we're in a position of financial restraint, as was pointed out by Councillor Cupper. We're looking at changing our library services because we're trying to cut back on money, and here we are spending $6,500 sending Councillor to China. I have no problem with sending the Mildura Tourism and Economic Development Board members to China because it's their job to try and bring business and economic growth into this country from overseas, or into this particular city from overseas. But I don't see why there's a need for councillors to go along to be there with them. I don't see what the great advantage is for councillors to be there. So I don't believe that the recommendation is appropriate, and I would submit an alternative recommendation where councillors, just the councillors, not the Economic Tourism Board or the senior officer, but just the councillors, should be required to pay their own money if they wish to go. And the other aspect to the recommendation that I would like to see change is that if councillors did go, that they be required to submit a report on their return as to the outcomes and the benefit of their trip to the community.
Thank you, Councillor Clements. Any other councillor wish to speak for the motion? Against the motion? I'll now ask Councillor Thorburn if you could close the debate, please.
Mr. Mayor, I obviously didn't make myself quite clear on a couple of matters. Through Dalee, our sister city, we got this invitation. Most of the time, I do believe you, the delegation and the two councillors will be spending in Kunming, which is more than a fast train ride away from Dalee. Kunming is a fairly big city, and the invitation has come from the governor of the Dalee prefecture. This is a very high-level event, and that's why the actual invitation was given to council, and we had one economic person to go along. The invitation would not just go to the tourist people. It's high level, and I might say that we need to send our two best councillors, or what, who they are, we haven't decided, but in my mind, we need to send people, and we need to pay for them, because they're representing Mildura, our city, on this particular thing. That's why I believe that we should pay the $6,500. It's a very high level, and who will benefit from it? I tell you what, because this delegation will meet the business people of the Dalee area. Now, Dalee is a very, very nice city, I can tell you. It's got some similarities. It's close to a lot of agricultural land, and it is, a lot of it is, Mr. Mayor, prime agricultural land in that valley at Dalee. Very pretty place. And there's a lot of farming area between Kunming and Dalee. And the benefits to this district, our councillors and the tourist person on this delegation will actually be representing all the growers here, the growers that have got, that eventually, when and if we get our act together and this association fosters, it's worth millions of dollars to this community, to some of the farmers. This is the beginning of networking of more produce that can go from here to that particular area. That's the benefit there is to this community. And I just can't believe we're talking about $6,500 for an opportunity to go and see a governor. The only governor I've ever met overseas, Mr. Mayor, was Governor George Wallace the late. And it's probably one of the highlights of my life, you know. I'm not going on this trip because I'll probably, my travels overseas seem to be over, but I want to see this council properly represented at this high level delegation, because it really is at, the equivalent is at state level. I want to make that quite clear. And it's worth the investment. So I recommend to the council that's here tonight to pass this, and I can assure that the ratepayers that will be sending our best equipped people to go across there and represent this city at this level.
Thank you, Councillor Thorburn. I'll now put the motion to vote.
Sorry.
Did Simon have an alternative motion, though?
No.
Oh.
I'll now put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried. We'll move on to item, for as a point of clarification, you must move. If you want to amend a motion, you've got to move a motion. You can't just make a speech and you've got to have a seconder for that motion. So if the intention is to do that, then that should have been done. It wasn't done.
But wouldn't the chair...
No. It's up to... I don't move the motions.
That may even be too broad to be an amendment.
I'll move on to item 14.3, is adoption of commercial waste management grants policy, with the recommendation at item 2. We've got a mover for that motion. Thank you, Councillor Cirillo. We've got a seconder. Thank you, Councillor Poole. Any councillor wish to speak against that motion? I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried. Item 14.4 is endorsement of the Municipal Road Management Plan for Public Exhibition. And that's moved by Councillor Brown. Recommendations item 2, Councillor Eckel has seconded it. Any councillor wish to speak against the motion? I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried. Item 14.5 is enforcement of parking restrictions located at 723 to 733 15th Street, Mildura, with the recommendation at item 2. And move, Councillor Thorburn? No? Have we got a mover for this motion? Okay, then, move, Councillor Cupper, a seconder. Councillor Monica, any councillor wish to speak against the motion? I'll take a question.
Mr. Mayor, I'm just not quite... This is quite clear on what it is. Is it an area that's connecting all the other commercial areas along there towards Bunnings?
No.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. There's it's the area closest to Harvey Norman. So there's six spaces in front of Harvey Norman on 15th Street and another 25 odd spaces in front of the next two buildings, as identified in the map. There are two body corporates that have requested council to enforce parking restrictions in front of all businesses. That's identified in the map.
And speak against it. Okay, Councillor Cupper, if you could open the debate, please.
Yeah, thank you. My reading of this was that it's a way that council can make life easier for some businesses in that particular precinct, that they're suffering from all sorts of frustration as a result of having designated car parks for their customers, but they're being used by adjoining businesses instead for staff car parking. That's the impression I got from my reading of this. My understanding, again, is that this is not going to incur any cost for council as such, that we're going to be really just providing our authority, which is the authority to issue infringement notices, that we would be collecting the infringement money ourselves, and that seems to be, to me, a good low-cost way of assisting hard-working people, hard-working businesses in that area to maximise their customer base and to maximise their experiences for customers, and I guess essentially to crack down on behaviour which is unsportsmanlike by other businesses in the area. So I think that it's a good way that we can demonstrate our goodwill towards the business community.
Thank you. Councillor Monica.
Yes, I full agreement with Councillor Cupper. You go to capital cities, lots of municipalities use similar permit methods to keep allocated parks for those people who are utilising the area. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Monica. Councillor Thorburn.
Mr. Mayor, this is an unusual request from up in 15th Street because, as you know, there seems to be no car parking restrictions along there at all, certainly that we police, because further up the road the signs are wrong. I'm personally not quite concerned about the owners of the business. I'm more concerned about the members of the public, the shoppers, because I think in this they're going to restrict outside their particular area the time of 30 minutes. Now, I understood that we developed that, there would be a development plan that somewhere, and they would have had to provide certain amounts of car parks with all of this particular development, including staff car parks. I think it's going to cause confusion. I think it's what they're trying to do is limit inconvenience customers, and I would have liked to have seen in another area further up if they were going to bring an area such as car parking up there. I think it's going to cause confusion, and we'll get a little bit of money out of it. They'll just move on to another person's property. It seems to me that they haven't been able to work out the businesses there should have a talk to each other and try and work it all out, rather than, they may have tried to, but I think there are better ways of doing it. If we're going to do it for one little pocket, we should do it for a large area there and not confuse the public. That's why I really don't think this is a very good solution at the moment.
Thank you, Councillor Thorburn. Any other councillor wish to speak for the motion? Councillor Eckel?
Just a short one on this one, Mr. Mayor. I think that we've got to encourage business development. Like, you know, there's vacant shops all over the place, and they're still being built, and there's offices all over the place, and they're still being built. And if this has gone through a pretty rigorous and a good process, and I would be very, very surprised if the people occupying this building didn't talk to people around their vicinity. And I have never been, this is a personal opinion, I've never been to Harvey Norman's and seen those undercover car parks full. So I don't think there's a problem in that area at all.
Thank you, Councillor Eckel. Any other councillor wish to speak against the motion? For the motion, Councillor Brown?
No, my issue is purely at this time. It's ridiculous, half an hour. I can't see any decent shop that don't take that quick. So I'm voting against it purely on that basis until they get it all in order right through.
Thank you, Councillor Brown. Any other councillor wish to speak for, against? Councillor Cuthbert, if you could.
I just have a question, just quickly. Yeah, in terms of, a question through you,
Mr. Mellon.
How was the 30-minute time frame arrived at?
We've had substantial conversations with representation of both body corporates. I can confirm that the body corporates have attempted to work through the issues with the businesses that are involved, and they've been unable to come up with a satisfactory solution. Their final solution is for council to take over some of these spaces and for us to enforce the restrictions. It's their final straw. There's a couple of businesses that will more than likely consider where they'll be if some
sort of
resolution, if the resolution is not found. The 30-minute timeline was, I suppose, negotiated with council. We first needed to work out whether we had the capabilities to enforce the 30 minutes, which we can. So it was a negotiation between the request and council itself.
Thank you, Councillor Cupper, if you'd finalise the debate. Thank you.
Yeah, sure. One thing about being a councillor is you learn about car parking. So one of the things I remember hearing in the past is that short times, you know, it can be a good thing for either customers because it increases the turnover of vehicles. So it can, I guess, maximise opportunity to park in an area. So that's just a tidbit of information about maybe the benefits of 30 minutes. I can only imagine that the area will be well signed. I noticed too that there's an amnesty period that applies so that it gives customers that opportunity to learn about the new rules and to adapt to those. So I hear the arguments that are being made, but I think on balance, my comments before stand, and I will stand by those, that I think it's a good way for us to be able to encourage positive business behaviour. goodwill between businesses to maximise customer experiences and ultimately to assist business development in our municipality. Thanks.
Thank you. I'll now put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried. We'll now move to item 14.6, and that's the use of land for accommodation, student accommodation for Newman Close. There's a recommendation at item 2. Can I have a mover for that recommendation? Thank you, Councillor Cirillo. If I got a seconder? Councillor Poole, any councillor wish to speak against the motion? Councillor Thorburn, Councillor Cirillo, if you could open the debate, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. After hearing on the meeting on Monday night and hearing from the objectors on this matter, the owner of this property has decided to... How do I word it? Sorry. So what we've got here, we've got a case where there's many students staying in a house that's without a permit, and I believe that has to be pulled up because it should have been alerted to the council prior to this being done instead of being sprung from our department. And I believe that.
Councillor Swallow, do you want
to? Yeah, I've got to continue, sorry.
Okay.
No. That's all right. Sorry, Mr. Mayor. So after hearing the objectors on the Monday night, I agree with the recommendation in item 2, and that is in line with our planning scheme, and I believe that the noise is very disruptive. The house isn't equipped for to have 12 people in the house, and I agree with the recommendation.
Thank you, Councillor Cirillo. Councillor Poole.
Yes, I also agree to the motion due to it not meeting more than many of the criteria to approve a boarding house in a residential zone. And as Councillor Cirillo mentioned on Monday night at the planning forum, we heard from many of the immense amount of objections from the close-knit community within this court that this home exists in at the moment. So it's not near the central business district, it's not near the local education such as the TAFE that a lot of these students are attending, so it doesn't meet either of those. And yes, they are students, which we would like to support, but they are also working at odd hours and shift work, disrupting a lot of the neighbourhood throughout that area. So, and the applicant they have not even submitted the management plan as requested, so there's many reasons to oppose this. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Poole. Councillor Thorburn, speaking against the motion.
Well, Mr. Mayor, unfortunately I was away and didn't get to hear the story of the residents, and I might say that I would suspect, I know most of the arguments there, and they're probably right. It's just that I'm a little bit curious as to the reasons that we've put forward, saying that it shouldn't be an area which we have one of the boarding houses. It says here, and it's repeated several times, the proposed student accommodation is not located within the commercial area of the Mildura Central Business District and will be approximately 2 kilometres from the Mildura Central Shopping Centre. Well, I don't know, but I thought that... I have no doubts what our planners are saying, but I think our planners need to be updated. The major shopping centre in Mildura is not the CBD, Mr. Mayor, it's out at 15th Street. And I might say to you that all those wonderful facilities are very close to where this proposal, and to say that it's 2 kilometres away from all the services is not right. It shouldn't be an argument, yet it's repeated at least 4 or 5 times in this document. It's incorrect. And you know, if they take it to VCAT and these are some of our arguments, well, I'm just a little bit worried that you know, even a layman could tell you that the main area where everyone shops is up in 15th Street, which is only one block away from this facility. Now, I understand that I'm interested. I don't know about the students. I know too much about it. I think this was open. They wanted 12 students there. I see they say they're mainly from the Philippines, and I could understand that, you know, the Philippines have come here to try and get a degree in various subjects. I find them quite nice people. I know that it wouldn't worry them to be that far away from some of the facilities. I know a number of the Filipinos in town, and they generally live in the areas away. One of the problems is, I know here the planner also says that we encourage the inner area of Mildura for this kind of development. There's only one problem getting close to the CBD, is that half of our circle is cut off because you go into New South Wales. So really, if you're saying it's close to the CBD, you've only got the bottom half of it, the southern side of the CBD, that you can use. Not the northern side, because that's in New South Wales. So they're the arguments that I'm a little bit concerned about. But in general, I know it's a tight street and it's a court, and if I hear any more arguments, I'm not going to pursue the things. I've made my point. I just think that our planners need to get their act together and recognise that we should, as a council...
I would be very careful about your language, Councillor Thorburn, and I'd like you to withdraw that comment.
Right, I will. I'll just say that the councillors, we should look at making sure that we don't say that all the time that the CBD is the hub of everything in our commercial sector, because it's not. And the busiest place, the busiest commercial hub, is in 15th Street by a mile.
Thank you, Councillor Thorburn. Any other councillor wish to speak for the motion? Thank you, Councillor Clements.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I was an apology for the planning form, but have read all the material and was particularly interested in the fact that this proposal is in what's commonly known as a bowl court, a round court where vehicles have to turn. The applicants indicated that they were going to supply 4 vehicles for the use of the people living there as a means of transport for them. If you have a look at the photo in the materials that we've been provided with, you'll see there are 2 cars parked in the driveway already. One of those is hanging out almost into the street, and that would then need another couple of cars, which would cause great disruption to the people who lived in the court, great disruption to their ability to be able to park, great disruption to their ability to be able to turn around in the court, and of course rubbish collection, rubbish trucks being able to access bins and being able to turn around in the court as well. I've got no great problem with the concept of people trying to bring students over here and provide accommodation for them. But I think in a bowl court in a residential area, I think it's just inappropriate.
Thank you, Councillor Clements. Now, the councillor wishes to speak for the motion. Thank you, Councillor Eckhoff.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, I've read this thoroughly, and you would certainly know, and other councillors that have been around would know that I don't, and myself and the Planning Act don't always meet eye to eye, so it's good that I'm talking in for the motion and for a council decision, because what I do, in every issue, and it's got me into trouble over the years, I know, but in every issue I look at the situation and I say, would I like to be in the house next to that proposal? And when you look at this court, I certainly would not. And if I'd purchased a house in that vicinity, I don't know whether that comes into the Act, I don't care. If I bought
it... I'd probably caution you on that one too, Councillor Eckhoff, because you do have to care.
I do.
And you've got to make a decision based on the Act, not on how you feel or how you care.
No, yeah, okay. Well, I withdraw the care issue, but I'm not abiding to the Act in situations, because I've gone against the Act on numerous occasions, Mr. Mayor, as you well know. And I'll pick up on Councillor Thorburn's situation. But the bottom line is that the amenity is not favourable to the local residents, and I don't care, you know, what nationality anybody is, the situation is that it's not appropriate for that neighbourhood.
Thank you, Councillor Eccle. Any other councillor wish to speak against the motion? For the motion? I'll ask Councillor Cirillo if you could close the debate, please.
In close, the applicant hasn't given us any sort of reason why we should allow them to stay, to remain operating as they are. The residents have clearly raised their concerns about excessive noise and how that will be managed. There's been no response to. The failure of the applicant to alert council of this happening is a sign of whether they really respect the rules. And I believe that when we're referring to the 2K zone, we're referring to 2 kilometres away from any public transport, and these students are working to support themselves at the same time. So that's as raised by the residents on the Monday night. So we've got traffic in and out from any time from 4 a.m. onwards, and you know, I think one of the comments was that they don't even know which day or night it is anymore because you know the traffic's just, you know, constantly, and the noise is horrendous, etc., etc. And to close, there's been no on-site management plan on how to control the concerns raised by the objectors. Therefore, yeah.
Thank you, Councillor Cirillo. I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried. We'll move on to item 15, is urgent business. We have got one item of urgent business, which is 4 motions to go to the MAB State Council meeting on the 12th of May. The reason these have to be entered in today is because they have to be in Melbourne by the 14th of April, so there won't be enough time to get them into the next council meeting. I'd like to take a motion to enter those 4 motions. Thank you, Councillor Eccle. Seconded, Councillor Brown. I should explain, the motions actually go to the State Council where they're voted on by all councils. There's been, I think, some copies at the door there without having to read through them. I'll put the motion that we enter it into business. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried. Now, like... to take a motion to accept that we submit those to MAB State Council on the 12th of May 2017. As moved by Councillor Clements, seconded by Councillor Eccle. Does any councillor wish to speak against that motion? I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried. We'll move to item 16 as other matters. There are no other matters. Item 17 is public questions, and we have a number of public questions. I'll hand over to Mr. Sexton to go through those. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We have 8 questions tonight. I'll start with 6 from Maria Riedel, thank you, who has actually asked, and we will provide a copy to all councillors in due course, as a matter of courtesy. Maria has also asked that we read her questions in full out of respect for the community and their needs, so I will endeavour to do so. First question is, passenger train and the voice of your community. Upon receiving the 8,500 signature petition, will the Mayor and councillors at last demand the return of our 24-year missing passenger train as soon as possible, as promised to us by this Labor government for 10 years? I think I'll take the liberty of answering that one myself. Council does remain active in its working with the state government and lobbying for a number of elements to the rail issue. Those elements include, in particular, I guess, a priority for freight upgrade, but also include passenger services. The second question, are council aware that the Greens leader, Greg Barber, and Mr. Crisp are also actively asking for a passenger train return? I can't speak for all councillors, but I do believe the answer is yes. The next question relates to the Orinpa Library and the 2006 developer contribution plan. Since the refurbishment of the Orinpa Library, multipurpose hub and internet cafe was scheduled to be done by 2017 in accordance with the MRCC 2006 developer contribution plan number 2, and the community is expecting this, when will the council progress this work for Orinpa as promised? And I think I'll call upon the Acting General Manager of Community to respond to that one, please.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Council is currently reviewing both the Orinpa TCP and Orinpa Library, and further reports on each will be provided to Council prior to any decisions being made.
Thank you. The next question, I think, may have even the same answer. Can the hub, which includes the Orinpa Library, be like the one that Mervyn has been lucky enough to get, please? There's a bit of commentary that follows, but I think that is the question.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Basically, the answer to that is the same as the previous question. The two reports are being considered, and we'll come back to council before decisions are made.
Thank you.
Okay, the fourth question we'll refer to the Acting General Manager of Development shortly. Can Council please direct their planning department and consultants to zone for the long term varying sizes of regular density residential close to educational facilities to enable kids to walk and ride safely from their homes to school instead of large LDRZ of 1 acre lots? Specifically in brackets, this is around the Orinpa Primary and Secondary Schools and Henderson College.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Current and future zoning is a result of generally very comprehensive strategic planning frameworks. Future zoning changes are required to be approved, firstly, by Council as the planning authority and approved by the Minister for Planning. So there's a strategic response that we have to do for all zoning.
Thank you, Mr. Sexton.
Maria's final question is in relation to the Nwinji State Forest Reserve and Endangered Species Protection. Can Mildura Rural City Council please ask the Nwinji State Forest to be protected by inclusion in the national parks because of the national and state requirements to protect, recover endangered species such as the Mallee Emu Wren, the Mallee Fowl, the Greater Long-Eared Bat and others, as these species exist and are recorded and monitored at the Nwinji site? I think I can answer that one, Mr. Mayor. The answer would be yes, we can certainly request that.
So there are a couple more questions?
There are.
We're still going.
I'm just going to find those now. The next question I have is from Susan Clark. Has Council had a reply to their letter to Ramsay Health with regards to the two power parking at the hospital? If not, could they please do a follow-up letter to obtain a response? And I might throw to Acting General Manager Development.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, we have not had a response from Ramsay Health, but we can certainly reignite the conversation with the CEO of the hospital.
Thank you.
And the final question comes from Pat Martin. Thank you very much. How can Council run a meeting which allows the population to come without actually documenting who is here and how many are, I assume, are here in case of fire or other emergencies? My response to that would be that the Council meetings are conducted in accordance with our local law, and whilst it doesn't specify evacuation processes, we do have all adjoining doors to this facility locked, so there are simply three exits that you can't avoid. We have a fire warden system in place, and if the gallery was to be evacuated, I can assure the gallery that we would, as the wardens, be, I think, the last out and steering everybody in front of us to those three exits.
Thank you, Mr. Sexton. We'll now move on to confidential business, and there are a number of reports in that. I'll just read through them. They are what have we got? Section 89.2H, which is any other matter which the Council or Special Committee considers would prejudice the Council or any person, and that's appointments to Mildura Arts and Cultural Advisory Committee. 18.2, again under the same section, is the Great Vanilla Slice Triumph. 18.3, under 89.2D, is a contractual matter, and that's a tender award for Mildura Arts Centre passenger lift. And again, 18.4, under that same section, a contractual matter for a tender award, provision of tree services panel contract. So I'll now take a motion to go into confidential business. If I can have a mover, please. Councillor Clements is second, as Councillor Modica. I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against the motion is carried. On that, I'll close this part of the meeting and thank the public for their attendance this evening. And we'll just take a short break to allow the public to move out before we deal with the confidential matters. Thank you very much.